Good morning and happy Sabbath. It is very good to see each of you in God's house today, amen? And it's good to see me in God's house as well. You know, this morning we had communion service at Tioga County Church. So I'm coming straight from there here. You know, it's nice when I get to do two communion services on the same Sabbath. Otherwise, for a whole month, I'll be eating communion bread and drinking communion wine, you know? So it's nice to just take care of four churches in two shots. It's easier that way. But how have you been? Great. I hear great. What else?
Well by the grace of God.
That's a good one. Doing great, doing well by the grace of God. It is good to be in God's house. Amen? You know, a week ago this past Thursday, we were up at Union Springs Academy. And so we went up there to do some help out there in the dormitories and stuff. Maranatha is there doing some volunteer work. And so Risha was running with the girls and she tripped. And I mean, she really tore up her ankle real bad. So she's not here with us this morning, you know. Yes, but since we last met, a lot has happened. Since we last met, my aunt passed away and I went to Jamaica to bury her. And then Thursday this week, I went and buried Risha's aunt in Baltimore. And I can't make it for the next death. I also have an uncle-in-law that's dead. But I can't make it back to Jamaica for that one. So I'll just help them out over the phone, etc. But you know, since we last met, many people died. That's three I told you from my immediate family, from my close family. That's three right there. And no doubt you might have known people who died since we last met. So we have reason to rejoice in Jesus Christ. Amen. He lived, he died, and he rose again. And the scripture says, he was, he is, and he will be. Amen? Because of Jesus, we are alive. Because of Jesus, we can rejoice today. And so today, my title I want to speak to you on is, Lord, is it I? Is it I? And Debbie, it's good to see you. You know, the Lord is keeping you and giving you sustaining grace and comfort. You know, she just lost her mama 5 weeks or so ago. It's very recent as well. But the Lord is good to us. And today I'm raising that question which comes from the scriptures. Lord, is it I? Let's pray together. We thank you, God and our Father, for this precious Sabbath. It is a day when we get to celebrate the highest service in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the highest service in the Bible. And that is what you did for us, Jesus, in your body. As the divine God, you became human being. And in your body, you bore the marks of death. In your body, Jesus, you lived on this earth. And you lived a victorious life. And you died in our place. And you rose again in mighty triumph. And you went back to heaven and told us that you will come again. We look forward to that day when we'll be delivered, Jesus, from this sin-cursed world. Transform us until then and keep our characters developing in you. Bless us in your word today and may our hearts be satisfied in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, is it I? You know, there are some experiences we get only when the Holy Spirit moves. And it does not matter how hard we try, we can never duplicate those experiences. What was it like at the Last Supper when the disciples were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit so moved, God so moved, Christ so moved, that they asked the question, Lord, is it I? It couldn't have been easy. You know, how did Judas Iscariot face that moment of searching when even he asked the question, Lord, is it I? You know, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And that was the price of a slave in those days. 30 pieces of silver. The question is, are you betraying Jesus Christ today? And if so, for how much? For how much? Pride and prejudice. Envy and strife. Bitterness and malice, are those sins still among us? If they are, then we are no longer newborn babes in Christ. If they are, then we are not born again, And if they are, it means we are not maturing as disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, God wants to remove the old leaven of wickedness from us. Jesus is the bread of life. And he wants to keep the substantive feast of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The truth is, the substance has come and the shadow has gone away. And this is where many people misunderstand what Paul was talking about when he says these ordinances of handwriting that were against us, they have now been nailed to the cross. Many people who are very eager to get rid of God's seventh-day Sabbath, they said that the Ten Commandments law have been done away with at the cross. But that is not so, amen? Amen. What has been done away with the shadows, those things that pointed forward to the coming Messiah, all those things have been done away with because they've been fulfilled in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. There are many people, for example, who get caught up with the idea of Messianic Judaism. And you might even know someone in your church that is that way. I'm talking about there's a very sizable movement where people are being caught up with Messianic Judaism. But I want to tell you that biblical Christianity is God's order of today. Amen? And all the shadows have found their fulfillment in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So once we follow the Christ of the scriptures, we don't need to worry about getting it wrong. Actually, we'll get it perfect if we follow the Christ of the scriptures. Amen? Yes, my friends. The substance has come, and so the shadow has passed away, and Christ is now become our Passover. How many of you have seen your shadow before? Stick those hands up. You've seen your shadow. Now, in how many directions can your shadow go from you? Huh? One. Your shadow goes in one direction. And once you follow that shadow and get to the substance, can you see the shadow anymore? It stops where the substance is. And so it is that in the religion of the Jews, in Judaism, they had shadows pointing forward to Christ. And once Christ, the substance, comes, we no longer need or we no longer have the shadow. The shadow is passed away and the substance has come. Now, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17, Matthew 26 and verse 17, God's word is very clear to us. Matthew 26 and verse 17, God's word says, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? Where do you want to prepare, Lord?'" You know, it is alarming that God often gives us clarity on a matter in scriptures, but we refuse to follow the revelations of the Bible. We must be more thorough and diligent when obeying God. Amen? Now, whom do you suppose the Passover foreshadowed? The Passover foreshadowed Jesus Christ. For more than 1400 years, the Passover was a shadow of someone to come. This someone was the Messiah. This someone was the deliverer. This someone was the real Passover Lamb of God. He would one day come and mightily deliver God's covenant people. Do you happen to be God's covenant people today? I want to assure you that you are. God's covenant people are those who by faith accept the grace of God and live in obedience to his Ten Commandments. Amen. And God has raised up the Seventh-day Adventist Church just for that purpose. So you have made a good pick to allow God to pick you to be on his team. Amen? You're on God's team, so remember that. Do you remember the Passover story that came to us out of Africa? You remember that story? The long night of slavery for God's old covenant Israel came to an abrupt end in Egypt. We too are sojourners in a sin-cursed world. The question is, Do you long for God's deliverance? Are you looking forward to that blessed hope when God will not only deliver us, as our lesson points out this week in the quarterly, justification by faith. This is where God removes the penalty of sin because Jesus took it in his body and nailed it to the cross. Do you long for the time when God will not only deliver us through the power of sanctification where he keeps us from falling? Don't you long for the time when God will actually deliver us from the very presence of sin? That's what we call glorification. The time is not far distant when Christ will come and he will remove us from the very presence of sin where Satan and his evil angels will never be able to tempt us again. I look forward to that time. How about you? Friends, it's coming soon. God's deliverance is coming. Now, the month of Abib, or Nisan. You know there's a Japanese brand called Nisan, right? Yeah. Well, that was a month in the Hebrew calendar. It was the first month of the religious year. Now, in Abib or Nisan, the names are used interchangeably for the same time, the first month of the religious year. The month of Abib or Nisan coincides with the last of March or the first of April. Now on the 10th day of Abib, the Passover lamb was selected and kept separate from the rest of the flock until it was slain on the 14th day of that same month. And follow me now. The Passover lamb was slain between the two evenings. And Exodus 12:6 tells us about that, which is around 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. our time. They roasted the entire lamb, and not a bone was to be broken. Israelites ate the Passover with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Not only was unleavened bread used in the feast, but no leaven was allowed in Israelites' homes the entire week, 7 days following the Passover. I was doing a Bible study last night in Endicott, and the mom of the adult daughter that I was studying with, she was baking banana bread while I was doing the studies, and man, that thing smelled good. And you know, while we were there, she said, you know, I was searching the whole cabinet and I couldn't find any baking soda or baking powder or anything. So she went on ahead and made the banana bread without any leavening agent. Any leavening. And so it is that when she was done, she said, I think my banana bread is fried. It looks like it's fried because it's not raised. It's not raising. It didn't rise. And so it is that no leaven, no yeast, no baking powder, no baking soda, none of those agencies that are used for rising bread and baked goods, none of those were found in an Israelite's home the 7 days following the Passover. Why did I raise this up though? Because I have a question. What duty does the feast of unleavened bread places on Christians now? That is the question. What responsibility, what duty? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through to 8, Paul addresses this for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said to those Corinthians, your glorying is not good. See, some of them were pretending to be super apostles. Some of them were even claiming that they had more authority than Paul. And so Paul says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump? Then he says in verse 7, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. That's what leaven meant in the scriptures. Malice and wickedness. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, in Christ, we have the victory to live a life without malice. No Christian can keep malice. So if you are here today and you are keeping malice, you may want to check out your Christianity, how much it is matching up with the Bible. The power of God, God's grace, empowers us to live lives without malice. And so we shouldn't be hating anyone. We shouldn't be keeping malice with anyone. We should be in a right relationship with God. Amen? So here are two things we learned from that passage. Number one, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Amen? So we don't need to go anywhere to keep a feast of a Passover because Christ is our Passover. Amen? Number two, we keep the feast of unleavened bread in Jesus Christ. He empowers us to replace our natural malice and wickedness with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. No Christians can keep malice. Christ is our Passover. He is the living bread. Jesus came down from heaven, and the fragrance of his life is our strength. Jesus has also given to us a ministry of reconciliation. And Christ had clothed us with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. He is the only mediator between God and humankind. Jesus is our bridge between the human and the divine. And Jesus is the best friend in the whole wide world. As he prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice for us. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 26, 18 and 19. He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand.'" Now, do you remember what Jesus said to his mother in John chapter 2 at the wedding at Cana? "My time has not yet come." See, she was asking Jesus to turn water into wine. And by the way, we have some good wine here. Unfermented, pure, 100% grape juice. That's the wine that Jesus made. Never made alcohol for anyone. I just want to put that one out there. His mother asked him to turn water into wine. And he said to her, "My time is not yet come." Because Jesus has always used pure grape juice as a symbol of his blood that would one day have been shed for his believers. Amen? So that's why I was telling him, I'm not ready to die yet. I have 3.5 years of ministry still ahead of me. My time has not yet come. However, in this passage in Matthew 26, Jesus says, what this time? "My time is at hand. My time has now come. I will keep the Passover with you in your house with my disciples." What would it be like for Jesus to keep the Passover with us in our homes today? Well, Jesus wants to live in our homes and keep the real Passover with us, where his sacrifice become the sufficiency for our sin, where his sacrifice become the complete payment for our sins, where his sacrifice becomes our righteousness. Jesus wants to dwell in your home and my home, in your heart and my heart. He is the Passover for us today. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, there was a man by the name of Stephen Haskell. And sometime after James White died, Stephen Haskell's wife also died. And being a very close friend of Ellen White, he actually proposed to her. He wanted to marry Ellen White. And Ellen White said no. And it wasn't that she didn't like Steve, nor they wouldn't be compatible. She said this is the reason she said no. She's already established as Sister White. It would be difficult now, so many years into her ministry, to be called Sister Haskell. It would cause confusion, so she turned him down on those grounds. Well, this Haskell wrote a book called The Cross and the Shadow. Any of you read that book before? Amen. The Cross and the Shadow. You should read that book. If you want a deep understanding of the symbols, the shadows, and how they were fulfilled in the life and ministry of Christ, you should read that book, The Cross and the Shadow by Stephen Haskell. Well, here, this is what he says on page 96 in his book, and he's one of our pioneers. "Just as the Passover lamb had for centuries been taken from the flock a few days before it was to be slain and had been kept separate, a lamb marked for death, so a few days before Christ was crucified, the Sanhedrin," and you all know what the Sanhedrin is. That's the leading council, a body of 70, that ruled the Jewish nation at the time of Christ. It said, so the Sanhedrin condemned Jesus to death. From that day forth, as they looked upon him, they knew that his death was determined. As the Lamb was kept apart, so Jesus, quoting John 11, so Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews. So in Matthew 26, 20, 22, so when evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12. When evening time comes, what do you find yourself doing? Jesus sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. That's a small crowd to speak so boldly, so plainly. There were just 12 of them. And Jesus said, one of you will betray me. I don't know the precise number of us in this room today. But what might Jesus be saying to each of us? What are we going to do after we leave this place today? After we've celebrated this Lord's Supper today, what are we going to do? Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Am I the one that is going to do this treacherous work? Am I the one that's going to do this deadly work? Am I the one, Jesus, that is going to betray you? Lord, is it I? And in verse 23 through to 25 of Matthew chapter 26, Jesus answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. And you know, how many people dip their hands in the dish with you? The United States of America is the most highly individualized nation on earth. And we don't allow too many people to dip their hands in our dish when we're eating. Amen? As a matter of fact, we don't even dip our hands in the dish here. We use knives and forks. Amen? And Jesus says, this one is so close to me, he was allowed to invade my personal space and to dip his hand in the dish with me. Jesus said, this is the one that will betray me. One that is so close. You know, we are hurt the most by people who are closest to us. Did you realize that? Because the people we are closest to, we tend to be more vulnerable to. So we hurt the most. In other words, let us take heed that we don't hurt one another. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, one of you will betray me. And he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. Then in verse 24, Jesus says, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Jesus says, rather than betraying him, it would have been better for us not to have been born. Now, there are three important things in life. What are they? One is to be born. And we had no choice in being born. Amen? How many of you had a choice in being born? I don't see any witness. We had no choice in being born. That's one important thing in life. The second is like unto it. But in this one, it's based upon our choice. We must be born again. And only God can provide us that experience. No preacher can't do it. No church can't do it. You can't do it for yourself. God himself provides us the born again experience. And then the third thing is to die right. We all going to die. It doesn't matter how young and beautiful you look or how old you are. We are going to die. We are going to die. But if we die in Jesus, we die right. Amen? Amen. To be born again and to die right. And here it is. Jesus says, it would have been better for that man not to have been born rather than to betray the Son of Man. And then in verse 25 he says, then Judas, who was betraying him, and it uses the participial form of the verb betray. Judas, who was betraying him, he was in the active process of betraying Jesus. He had gone already a few days before and made the deal to sell him, to identify Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And now, here is Judas. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, Lord, teacher, master, is it I? Is it I? He said to him, Jesus said to him, you have said it. You have said it. See, God does not leave anything up to chance. God does not leave anything up to nature. God is very intentional. And remember, God's power is unlimited. And almost 1,000 years before his betrayal, God told David that it would happen. Psalm 41, beginning in verse 7. The word of God says, "And all who hate me whisper together against me." I know if you are at work, or if you're in sport somewhere and you see a group begin to look at you and begin to whisper, it's never a good sign. Most likely they are talking about you and they're talking bad. Jesus says 1,000 years ago to David, "All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise hurt. They plan hurt and harm." And in verse 8 he says, "An evil disease," they say, "clings to him." And you know it's true. When Adolf Hitler wanted to create his Nazi Germany, what he began to do is to single out and says, "If you're blue-eyed and you're blonde, then you belong to the Aryan superior race. If you're brown-eyed and brown-haired or black-haired, then you could be dispensed with." And so he started this systematic execution of his own German people. And the rise of Nazism and fascism and all those isms. What they begin to do is to make you unworthy to live. And Jesus told David 1,000 years ahead of time, they're going to say he has an evil disease. In other words, we need to get rid of this disease. And in order to get rid of this disease, we have to get rid of him. He has an evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. And as I wind down, catch this. Jesus himself shared a parable how a certain man who owned a great vineyard gave it out to laborers and went into a far country. Remember that parable? And he sent, when he knew it was time of reaping, he decided to send some servants to go get some of the harvest. And he sent one servant, and what did they do with that servant? They killed him. He sent another servant, what did they do with the next servant? They killed him. And finally he said, "You know what? They know who my son is. They know he's no imposter. They know he bears my expressed image. They'll respect him and they'll give him some of the fruits." When he sent his son, what did they conspire and say? They whispered together and they said, "You know what? This is the heir. If we get rid of him, the kingdom will become ours. So let's kill him." And so they killed his son. Man, you could see those folded fists and clenched teeth. They wanted to get rid of Jesus because they knew exactly what he was saying. God has sent prophet after prophet after prophet, servant after servant after servant, and they killed the prophets. Finally, God said, "You know what? Let me send my son in my own image and let him sit down there." And that was the idea. Let's get rid of Jesus. And when we get rid of him, we will become God's favorite forever. It says here, "Now that he lies down, he will rise up no more." Then verse 9. Jesus said it to David 1,000 years ahead of time. "Even now, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." That's what Judas Iscariot did to Jesus. And the question we ask ourselves today, Lord, is it I? Am I selling you out, Jesus, for 30 pieces of silver? Or for more? Or for less? Am I betraying you, Lord? Well, today is a call to conscience. God is once more calling us to a mini baptism, as it were. We're going to celebrate today the Lord's Supper. We're going to partake of it today. At this time, as we respond to God, as we do our own self-searching, I invite you to sing with me the first stanza of hymn number 530 in your songbooks. "It is well with my soul." And this is our prayer. It's a prayer that it is well with our soul. Let's sing that one together. And then we'll separate to wash one another's feet. And we'll come back to partake of the emblems of the Lord's broken body.